Hi, this is Barbara Feldon, and you're listening to TV Confidential.
Ed Robertson, welcoming you to this week's edition of TV Confidential, radio talk show about television. Then we'll welcome back John Burlingame in our second hour. John Burlingame, the foremost authority on the subject of music for movies and television. John's latest book tells you everything you want to know about Peter Gunn, the classic Private Eye series starring Craig Stevens and created by Blake Edwards that not only put Henry Mancini on the map, but changed the face and sound of primetime television by introducing jazz music as dramatic accompaniment. John's book also takes you behind the scenes of Mr. Lucky, the Blake Edwards series starring John Vivian and Ross Martin that also featured original music by Henry Mancini, and which has the dubious distinction of being one of the few shows in network TV history that the creator and producer, Blake Edwards, insisted on canceling himself in the middle of the first season, even though Mr. Lucky was a top-rated, top-10 show. We'll unpack that story and a whole lot more when John Burlingame joins us in our second hour. Please stay tuned for that. In the meantime, we'll open up our first hour by playing part two of a conversation that began last week with Robert Crane and Christopher Fryer. Bob and Chris have authored or co-authored several books on movies, television, and Hollywood in general, including Jack Nicholson, The Early Years, the first authorized filmography of Jack Nicholson, Bruce Stern, Things I've Said But Probably Shouldn't Have, an unrepentant memoir, and Crane, Sex, Celebrity, and My Father's Unsolved Murder. All three of these books available University Press of Kentucky as well as Amazon.com. Bob and Chris, also two of the contributors to Beyond Where the Buses Run, a collection of short stories, the common theme of which is the directions that people sometimes go in the course of their lives and what can happen in those moments when we discover for the first time what we're truly capable of. Beyond Where the Buses Run, available in paperback and as an ebook through Oregon Greystone Press and Amazon.com. Talk a little bit about the anthology that you both contributed to in just a second, but want to circle back because we started talking about I Killed John Wayne, which Dern's character famously did when he started off as a John Wayne in 1972's The Cowboys, but then we get a little sidetracked. Part of what makes that story epic is that he gets this big picture, which turned out to be Silent Running, which is considered one of the best things he ever made. And then he gets a call from his agent saying, okay, after all the arrangements were made and this is a good, and he's very excited about making this picture, he finds out that he needs to make an excuse for 2 days because he's needed on this other picture. But the universe aligned for him.
I don't remember what the other picture was. Do you remember?
It was The Cowboys.
Oh, it was The Cowboys.
No, yeah.
Oh,
he, wow. Yeah, he had
Reshoot, yeah.
I don't remember whether it was an early scene, but they needed to shoot the scene where he guns down Wayne.
Yeah.
And it was an outdoor, and it was what they called a twilight hour.
The golden hour.
The golden hour.
Yeah. And they had to reshoot, so we went to Douglas Trumbull. They were shooting Silent Running on an abandoned aircraft carrier, I think it was, in Long Beach. So he said to Douglas Trumbull, the director, can you spare me for a few hours? And Trumbull said, oh, yeah, I can shoot stuff with drones or something, hours.
Huey, Dewey, and Louie. Yeah.
And again, that doesn't always happen. It's like that's when you get agents involved, but the universe worked. And then he just arranges to get the time off, and then he reads the script, and then he realizes, wow, I'm going to shoot John Wayne. He's not sure whether he wanted to do that, but again, the universe aligned and everything worked out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't think that would happen anymore where you could just get out for a couple of days and work on a different project and come back. They wouldn't allow that.
No, it's just it's a much simpler time back then.
Can I just do a little digression there?
Go ahead.
Because I happened to watch last night, a few minutes of Kramer versus Kramer on TCM. And speaking about things that couldn't happen now. And there's a scene in Kramer versus Kramer when Dustin Hoffman job as an advertising guy, and he's going through this divorce and a battle to get custody of his son. And he's got to get a job. It's Christmas, and he's going out for interviews, and it's the Friday before Christmas, and he's trying to get a job because he's got to have a job by Monday, otherwise he's going to lose his custody case. And he goes to this one office for an interview where they're having their Christmas party, and he meets with the executives, and he finally convinces them to give him the job, and he's thrilled, and he's walking out through the party, and everybody's celebrating, and they're drinking, all the employees of the advertising agency, and he just stops at one point and confronts this blonde woman and gives her a big kiss on the lips and then walks out. And I thought, well, today he'd be fired for that. And it's just the way, everything has changed. And, even something like that you couldn't do in a film today.
Well, there wouldn't be a party. It would be on Zoom.
Yeah.
No, that's true, too.
Exactly.
Yeah, because everybody's working from the Hudson Valley.
That's true. Chris Fryer and Bob Crane are with us in the studio. Chris on the phone, Bob here with me in person. Chris's Bob's books on movies and television include Jack Nicholson, The Early Years, Bruce Stern, Things I've Said But Probably Shouldn't Have, An Unrepentant Memoir, and Crane, Sex, Celebrity, and My Father's Unsolved Murder. All three books available University Press of Kentucky as well as Amazon.com. Let's see, we mentioned that Bob and Chris are two of the contributors, along with your friend Joe Coyle. Coyle,
yeah.
And I'm trying to remember, Joe Coyle's name somehow came up in the backstory of the Bruce Dern book, but I don't remember exactly how. I remember
Joe's just a fine actor who and writer who has worked with a lot of people, too. And he loves the Bruce Dern tales and the stories. And every time Chris and I have been around him, we have to retell a story because he's just an actor who, he's worked with Ben Affleck and, George
Clooney
and all these people, and just loves set stories. So I think that's how he played in. We thanked him for his enthusiasm.
Okay, all right. I knew there was some sort of connection. I just couldn't remember.
Yeah.
But we mentioned the name of the anthology, Beyond Where the Buses Run, is a Dernism. Is it a Dernsey?
A Dernsey.
A Dernsey, okay. Yeah. Did he ever explain where he came up with that?
Well, it was Nicholson that called it that. What Jack called it. He said that they were going to get a Dernsey here.
Yeah.
So, it's when Bruce goes off script and just makes something up that's totally appropriate for the character and the place and the time.
I think the Beyond Where the Buses Run is how Dern used to describe his characters.
Okay, it's a variation of Fifth Cowboy from the Right.
Yeah.
The starting point or the origin
right. Is
beyond where the buses run, whatever that point is and whatever it means for Bruce at the time.
Yeah, and that's where that character lives.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Because he played so many misfits and losers. In fact, there's character in that, I think in the motorcycle film you were referencing earlier, Ed,
Wild Angels?
Or Hell's Angels on Real
Something. Character is called Loser.
Okay. Loser,
So he thinks of all these characters that he plays that are on the fringe or beyond the fringe, and he says, the characters that I play are always beyond where the buses run. And when we were casting around for a title for the anthology, and we said, well, this book is a collection of stories about people who are kind of misfits and losers and people who live beyond the edge of things. And we finally said, oh, we should co-opt Bruce's thing and call it Beyond Where the Buses Run.
Beyond Where the Buses Run, available in paperback and as an ebook through Oregon Greystone Press as well as Amazon.com. Chris's contribution is the story of a hunter, and without going into too many details, it has a lot of Rod Serling-esque, Twilight Zone-esque elements to it. I don't know whether that was designed by not, but that's what I immediately thought of when I read it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm flattered to be compared to Rod Serling, who I always loved as a kid. I loved Twilight Zone. There are no aliens in my story. but to be honest, I never once thought of that in connection to the story. It wasn't that. It was all about the character who's kind of a loner and gets along better in nature out in the forest than he does with people. And Bob might tell you that reflects me.
Yes.
more than anything else, but that's the nature of the character, and just there are some elements of his encounters in the forest that might be deemed supernatural, but I don't think of it that way.
Well, there's an ironic twist to how that story ends that is definitely Serling-esque.
Okay, I'll buy that.
Okay, I'm not going to ask you to elaborate because I want people to pick up a copy of Beyond Where the Buses Run. Joe Coyle also contributes to that, to the anthology, as do you, Bob.
Yep. And Teresa Griffin Kennedy, Megan Behar, and the late Kari Hildebrand has a couple of stories in there as well. And yeah, it was just like Chris said, it's misfit characters, people out of the ordinary, making decisions that are either get them further into trouble or try to write something. And we just thought this collection of people in one book might be interesting.
Speaking of misfits, I think, Bob, I've told you this story. Chris, I've not told you this story. During the period in Bruce Dern's career where he did a lot of episodic television, because it was a good time for a working actor to be a working actor, because there are a lot of anthology shows, which means that you would have a different cast. You would need a different cast every week, which means there's a lot of opportunities for actors. And he did, I think he did The Xanti Misfits, which is one of the most famous episodes of Outer Limits. Mm. So my friend Dan Farron was at the Hollywood show about a year or so ago, and Dern has his table. And he's got his, I'm sure he had copies of Bruce Dern, a memoir on the table, but he's also got photos of his various pictures and this and that and the other thing. So Dan and his wife are at the table. They're chatting Dern up, and Dan picks up one of the prints of Dern from Xanti Misfits. And so he hands it over to Dern to autograph, and Dern looks at Dan and says, "Okay, of all the photos you have to choose from, you've got me with Nicholson, you've got me with Maude Adams, you got me with Fonda, you got me with John Wayne, and you pick me from the Xanti Misfits." And Dan said, "Yeah." And Dern said, "Wise choice."
That's great. Yeah, that sounds like him. Yeah.
Chris Fryer and Bob Crane are with us in the studio. Chris on the phone, Bob here with me in person. Chris's Bob's books on movies and television include Jack Nicholson, The Early Years, Bruce Dern, A Memoir, and Crane, Sex, Celebrity, and My Father's Unsolved Murder. All three books available at University Press of Kentucky as well as Amazon.com.
Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back.
One more item. If you're starting a company, particularly one that is in an emerging market, you know that averting any sort of legal dispute is crucial to your business plan. Our friends at Tectonic Law offer an array of services that can help you avoid and preempt future litigation while also developing and protecting your intellectual property and intangible assets. Tectonic Law serves the needs of a host of emerging industries throughout California and beyond, including industrial designers, beverage makers, artists, farmers, retail stores, health practitioners, wellness experts, cosmetics manufacturers, nonprofit organizations, innovators in sustainable practices, and libraries. Go to tectoniclaw.com to learn more about how Tectonic Law can help your business thrive. TectonicLaw.com. Rock solid representation for groundbreaking industries.
Hi, this is Bo Bridges, and you're listening to TV Confidential.
Well, I know. I don't remember whether this is a Bob collaboration or a Chris and Bob collaboration, but one of your books was SCTV behind the scenes.
This is Bob here. I had the pleasure of knowing the SCTV cast, Second City TV Canadian group, two Americans, the rest Canadian, and I got to meet all of them for Playboy. I pitched an interview to John Rezik, great editor, and he said, "Yeah, go ahead." I don't think he'd ever seen the show, but he must have, you know, heard about John Candy and Eugene Levy and people like that. So I got to interview them. Same thing happened as with Dern. John Candy and Dave Thomas and I hit it off, so I kept pitching them to magazines. You know, what else can we do next? But, you know, John, have you ever done Disney Adventures magazine? You know, no. Yeah, he didn't want to, but he went ahead with it. And John dies in 94.
Mm-hmm.
Get a call from Dave Thomas, who I've had a relationship at that point for over 10 years. Interviewed him a lot. And he said, "Listen, before anybody else dies, I want to put together a book on SCTV. Would you help me?" And I said, "Yeah, love to. Are you kidding?" So I got to work on that, brought in Susan Carney, who's a great writer, and we got to interview the cast, makeup, hair, directors, writers, everything, and put it together in a book called SCTV Behind the Scenes.
So you would have talked to Joe Flaherty?
Yes, the late, great.
Yeah, we just lost him.
Yeah. Got to interview him at the, what's the Mexican restaurant across from Paramount on Melrose?
Oh,
it's been there a thousand years.
I know,
years.
It's been there a thousand
yeah.
years.
Yeah,
and
interviewed him there.
Yeah.
Great guy, very funny, great stories from everybody. Martin Short, Rick Moranis, Eugene Levy, Andrea Martin, Catherine O'Hara, and the original member on the show, director, also passed away.
Harold Ramis,
thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, the day I interviewed Ramis, I got to go out to Sony Pictures and hang with him and interview him in between shooting. He was directing Multiplicity.
Oh, yeah.
Michael Keaton?
Yeah.
Which looked bizarre. I never saw the movie, but Keaton played four characters.
Yeah, I think
so. Talk about a nightmare. So they have to set up, you know, different. So he had a lot of time, mm-hmm. downtime. So I got to interview him there. And then he passed away.
When the two of you, Bob and Chris, decide, okay, let's do another book, or of all the books that you've collaborated on together, I mean, was it something that just came across organically, naturally, or,
yeah.
or when you decide, I mean, basically, how do you guys work together?
It's something that Chris and I find something of value or just an extreme interest in this. It may be the smallest little thing, you know, yeah. It's like, yeah. And it's just a moment or something like that. It's like with Nicholson. I had seen Easy Rider. I thought he was great. You know, first time I was really aware of him. Chris goes to a screening of Five Easy Pieces.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't go. He comes back.
I invited you.
I think I had my girlfriend or something that night. Something important. He comes back and says, "You got to see this picture. You got to see. This is the new, you know, not to take anything away from Jack Nicholson, but this is like the new Brando. This is honesty on film." So then I saw it, and we look at each other and go, and that's when, back to Chris's story about the paper for film class, that's how it got to that. So it was a moment or something in it that Chris saw at that screening, and he had to tell me about it. And then I saw it and went, "Yeah, this guy's great."
And I think to this day, if you ask Bob about the scene of any film that gets him more than any other scene, I'm going to bet that he would say it's the scene in Five Easy Pieces when Jack's character is talking to his dad, who's in a wheelchair and can't speak,
yeah.
and he's trying to explain his life to his dad.
Oh, yeah.
I think Bob might say that's one of the two or three moments on film that affects him more than any other.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. When I saw that, I went, whoa. Yeah. Okay. How did they do this? Talk about, like, Chris was talking earlier about Mia Farrow.
Yeah.
How many takes did they do of this?
Yeah.
How did Jack get to this moment every time with tears and, you know, this monologue that he does with his dad. How did he do this?
Yeah, it's like actors are a different breed of human. They have this furnace that is inside them that just burns with all these emotions and things that they can somehow bring to their face. The good ones can. Dern can. Nicholson can. Mia Farrow did something that was supernatural as far as I was concerned. And it's unfathomable to the layperson how that can be done.
Chris Fryer and Bob Crane are with us in the studio. Chris on the phone. Bob here with me in person. Chris's Bob's books on movies and television include Jack Nicholson, The Early Years, Bruce Stern, Things I've Said But Probably Shouldn't Have, An Unrepentant Memoir, and Crane, Sex, Celebrity, and My Father's Unsolved Murder. All three books available University Press of Kentucky as well as Amazon.com. We'll take a quick time out. We'll talk some more with Bob and Chris about Jack Nicholson, Bruce Dern, and a whole lot more when we come back on TV Confidential. Be part of our conversation. If you like what you hear, have thoughts on this week's program, or have an idea for a future edition of TV Confidential, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us at talk@tvconfidential.net, talk@tvconfidential.net. You can also message us at facebook.com/TV Confidential, x.com/TV Confidential, or at TV Confidential on Instagram. And if you're listening to us on the TV Confidential podcast, please be sure to hit the subscribe button.
This portion of TV Confidential is brought to us by our friends at Front Porch Realty, the community of realtors in the Northern Bay area of California that is committed to finding the solution that is best for their clients. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or looking to sell or lease your property in Northern California, call Karen Strain at 415-886-7411 or visit frontporchrealtygroup.com for more information on how they can help you.